All right, about a minute and 20 seconds to the closing bell. And helping us get there are Mike Gibbs, Raymond James Managing Director of Equity Portfolio and Technical Strategy, along with Robert Dye, Comerica Bank Chief Economist. And as we take a look at how we're setting up for this close, there you see it. The Dow off about 259 points. The S&P 500 down 34 points. NASDAQ is off 131 points. One of the things that's leading these markets down as we take a look at who's performing poorly in the Dow, obviously, Apple is a big drag down right now. Those shares off about almost 3.5%. And part of this has to do with the federal court, which pulled a Snow White, and it wasn't exactly a poison apple. But what they did say is that the company has to allow developers to send users to other payment systems. This is a win, obviously, for Epic Games, creator Fortnite. We're going to be talking about that. But other losers in the Dow today, and losers isn't the right word, but those stocks trending down. United Healthcare, Walgreens, Boeing also down. Some of the gainers, though, today in the Dow, Intel Corp, McDonald's Corporation, and Dow Inc. As we keep an eye on all of this, it's important to remember that we have been down the last 4 days in trading. So we're going to see if we can break out of this next week. But let's go to the closing bell right now.
And that wraps up the trading week. Again, as Adam was just saying, all three of the major averages ending in the red. And we were looking at some selling into the close. The Dow closing off nearly 300 points. We started the show with the Dow off just around 70 points. I'm selling here in the final 90 minutes. The Dow closing off 271 points. S&P off about 0.8%. The NASDAQ off nearly 1% today. Adam mentioned the losses that we saw in Apple. Apple was the worst performer in the Dow today, with the stock closing off just over 3%. So we saw more than a 3% drop after we got the ruling on the Apple Epic suit there from the judge. Obviously, some concern there just in terms of what this means for Apple going forward. But here to break down the recent action, we have Mike Gibbs and Robert Dye. And Mike, let me start with you. Just the selling that we saw into the close. Obviously, investors are a little bit worried about something. What is it?
I wouldn't really say they're worried. I mean, next week we've got retail sales, we've got industrial production, we have CPI. We're probably going to have some Fed members out, you know, on the speaking circuit the week before the FOMC meeting. So could be a little positioning there, but I don't think I would read a lot into what you saw today. I mean, Apple down big. That's a big weight in all the indices. Healthcare has been weak the last couple of days because the drug pricing has finally reared its head again. Healthcare has been one of the stalwarts in the last several weeks. Looking at my screen, semiconductors are up today. I'm seeing quite a few energy stocks in the red, in the green. I'm seeing some restaurants and some other stocks like that that are deeply cyclical that were actually up. So I'm not sure that I read too much into it. And oh, by the way, this is just the 13th declining week of the year. So that means, you know, about 64% of the weeks this year have been positive. So I think it's nothing more than noise and just a little positioning. And I don't really think you read too much into it. In the markets, you only read into something like this if it gains momentum, you know, and if you start to see certain things pick up. And right now, I just think it's just a noise day is all that you've seen.
Robert, I'm curious to pick up on what Mike's just said about noise, because you're pointing out, and your word was ominously, that China is showing signs of losing momentum after their reinflation. Should I be concerned about that as an investor in the United States?
Well, I think so, because China is such a big part of the global economy, nearly on par with the U.S. Fortunately, though, we are seeing Europe gaining momentum at this point in time. So that is a counterbalance. But I do think that China, a large, vigorous economy, slowing down, showing some vulnerability to their own COVID problems, as we here are dealing with yet another surge on COVID. I think this is a little bit of a worrisome sign for markets.
Robert, what do you make, I guess, of where we are in this recovery? Because we got that disappointing jobs report last Friday. The jobless claims numbers actually this week were relatively strong. I mean, it's all relative at this point. But just in terms of where we are in this recovery and sifting through some of that mixed economic data, how do you see it?
Well, that's a great question because we've never seen a recovery like this. This is such an unusual economy right now, highly policy driven, fiscal policy, monetary policy, social policy. And at the same time, we're trying to reflate this economy. We're hobbled and throttled back by the global supply chain constraints. So a very, very unusual set of circumstances right now. It looks like we're going to get yet another shot of long-term fiscal coming from the spending program that's going to be voted on here in a couple weeks. But in the meantime, like I said, we've got to get through COVID-D. We've got to get the consumer back on its feet. We've got to give them some product to buy to get those consumption numbers up. And we also need to get the global supply chain needs to be freed up so we can get the inventory cycle going again. So highly unusual conditions right now.
Mike, when we talk about highly unusual conditions, one thing that you've pointed out is the expiring government benefits could spur a willingness to take available jobs. That hasn't happened in states that actually took the extended benefits away. What sectors are particularly vulnerable if it doesn't happen? And I know restaurants is one area, but are there others we should pay attention to if the workers don't come back?
Well, if they don't come back, you're going to have an economy that's a little bit more disoriented, which is going to hit anything that's risked on. And, you know, across the consumer discretion space, it would trickle even down to energy and other spaces that tend to be a little bit more macro sensitive. As far as the states that ended the benefits early and not seeing the job applications come back, it really depends on whose survey you look at. Because I've seen some that have said that, you know, they did see a slight uptick in job applications in those states. So, you know, I don't know that that we sit here today and say it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. I take the side that it's going to happen because I think it's logical that if someone who's been getting government benefits, say someone who works in a restaurant and maybe lives paycheck to paycheck, and all of a sudden the money runs out, even though it may not be the job that they want, they may be pulled back into the labor force. So, you know, I do more, instead of economic forecasting, I do more money management. So to me, it's sort of, you know, making your bets in a small way and kind of playing with those as certain things transpire and watching that, believing that that'll happen, but being able to turn on a dime and change my direction if I need to. But, you know, I just think that we need more time. I think we went through pandemic where we set the world shut it down. We had that rip at the open to where, you know, everything picked up, and now we're chopping back because we had the variant that came back. And I think it's just a normal process to where you go back and forth as you recover from this. And, you know, I just think that you got to give it time and you got to be pragmatic with the way you approach it as an investor.
Robert, the big question also is what all this means for the Fed and the timeline of the tapering, whether or not that changed because of the recent data that we have gotten. I guess from your best guess or from what your expectations are, when are you expecting the Fed to begin tapering? And I guess how do you expect the economy to respond?
Yeah, the Fed's got a really difficult job now. To date, they've been focused on the labor side of their mandate, maximize employment. But of course, the price stability side, the inflation side, has also been heating up. We've got a pretty hot PPI report today. My concern is we're going to go from a very a loose labor market due to the COVID-related layoffs to a very tight labor market very quickly. And that could potentially contribute to the inflation story. I think the Fed's going to do a quick pivot. And what I expect to see here in the next couple of weeks with the upcoming FOMC meeting, I expect to see them tighten up or narrow the focus in terms of asset purchases, tapering asset purchases. And we could see that as early as November, maybe December, but certainly before the end of this year.
Mike Gibbs is Raymond James Managing Director of Equity Portfolio and Technology Strategy. Robert Dyke, America's Bank Chief Economist. Good to have both of you here. Thank you so much and have a wonderful weekend.